Welcome to the Lost Dot Podcast and the first edition of the Accursed Race, supported by our race partners Albion, Tailfin, Komoot, Pig Design, Quirk Cycles, and POC. Another day dawns in the Accursed Mountains, and those riders in the mid-pack are really starting to feel the strain of more than a week's worth of riding. We'll hear from some of those riders shortly, but before then, we have some action from yesterday to catch up on, because Josh Ibbott, Cap 29, arrived back in Škoda to claim the final spot on the podium.
Hey, congratulations.
Cheers.
I assume you're going to go and have a beer, but I'll mark you as finished at 18.07.
Lovely, thank you very much.
Are you feeling good?
Yeah, fine. Might do another lap.
Josh spoke to race reporter Ross Brannigan.
So Josh, you've done a lot of races now. How did this one compare to the others?
Pretty good. It's a mix of, I don't know, if some places it felt like Tour Divide, other places Kyrgyzstan, and then sometimes just Highland Trail. Like the length of climbs, it surprised me how long they are. They don't start at altitude, but they kind of start very low and finish relatively high. So it's a very good, I think if you did this and then did Silk Road or Tour Divide, you wouldn't be massively surprised by anything.
How do you feel about how you raced?
Yeah, it was okay. Like, I could have like been a bit more efficient getting up in the morning. Like a lot more efficient. I must have snoozed my alarm out 3 times every morning. Like this morning, I probably lay in bed an extra half hour. That's standard. I just couldn't be bothered to get up, to be honest. And in the hotel room, when I stayed there, I just pissed around for an hour.
And then lastly, you mentioned to me as well that you'd had the chance to go through these these places on TCRs in the past, and you were looking forward to exploring them a bit off-road. Do you feel like you've scratched that itch now?
Yes, I mean, some of the off-road's amazing. Like yesterday, I've been through here 4 times now, and been through Tirana, and then last night doing the sort of the balcony road, and you can see Tirana, and know you're coming this way. That's pretty cool. Knowing it's kind of tucked away up there, and it's quite remote as well.
Do you think you'll come back and do a little bit of exploring?
Probably, yeah. I feel like I've ticked off quite a lot of it in one hit, though. 1,000 miles off road, well, almost 1,000 miles off road in a week's quite a lot. But there's definitely some cool parts I want to see again.
Our other race reporter, Tom Probert, was at CP2 in Biskupi yesterday evening when he spoke to Thomas Quirk, Cap 11.
And how are you feeling in general, like body and mind at this point, this far into the race?
Oh, very solid. Like, I've been pretty consistent eating, sleeping, you know, I think three nights hotel, 2 nights bivvy so far, always a good 4 or 5 hours of sleep for the most part, like restaurant meals every night if I can, so.
Taking care of yourself.
Exactly, heaps of self-care. The next guy who comes in is on a gravel bike, and more power to him, but he's 21. I'm 48. There's no way in hell I'd do this thing on a today's section on a gravel bike. But on a all mountain full suspension, you know, it kicks ass today.
Tom also caught up with Lutz Valensiek, Cap 17, while at CP2 last night.
Have you run out of noodles yet?
Yeah. On the fourth day.
Fourth day.
That's yeah. It's terrible. Now I have to refuel much more often.
I was telling these guys about your saddle as well. Did you get a photo?
Yeah. The next morning it fell apart.
Yeah.
And I fixed it with trash.
Talk us through the repair.
Yeah, there was a bolt. It was. There was a reason why it's saddling. But
so
it's
you
okay.
Just shoved some.
Yeah, trash in there.
Trash in there. It's a very unique saddle. I mean.
Yeah.
And now even more so.
Yeah,
exactly.
But I like it.
It's doing the job for you.
Different levels where you can sit on.
Do you move yourself around the saddle, do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes I sit up here and sometimes down here.
You seem like you're having fun.
I'm having a lot of fun, yeah. Today was tough, but it was a lot of fun. Yeah. Today was the first day I had a little bit of cursing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Because I really don't like the uphill was okay and the downhill was great. Also, it was a lot of fun when it was steep and I enjoyed this myself, but on the top, the small bumps up and down, you don't make much progress in the distance and don't make much progress in the elevation, and it's a bit frustrating for me.
So you were doing some cursing?
Yeah, I was doing a little bit of cursing up there.
That's why they call it the accursed.
Yeah.
At around 10:30 p.m., India Landi and Ollie Radford, caps 43A and B, also arrived in Peshkopi.
How does it feel to be here?
Yeah, it's already an achievement, really, isn't it? Like, it's hard.
It's such a long way. Every day's been hard, and we've been like, oh, you know, tomorrow looks quite easy, only 150K. And then it's like the hardest day.
Yeah.
All of the easy-looking days are the hard days. And then, like, the one, we did almost 5,000 meters of climbing yesterday, and it wasn't that bad. Mm-hmm. Just more road, I guess, and the off-road bits are just sapping.
How was the heat today?
Wasn't as bad as the other days at all. No. Okay. Yesterday was awful. I got really bad heat rash, and I guess today the sun, every time it hit my legs, was still burning. But yeah. No, yesterday was way worse.
It's just the climbs. Every time we end up just climbing in the afternoon sun. Yeah. And it's just like, oh, God. I don't know. Every time I do it. It happens every time.
Yeah.
We're doing a climb in the sun again. And I was like, well, yeah, every single part of this course is a climb. So we're going to have to do it in the sun at some point.
It's now morning at the Accursed, and day 8 for our riders still battling it out on the trails. Tom speaks to Ollie and India again after they've spent a few hours sleeping.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How you feeling?
Yeah, pretty tired.
Tired, so not totally refreshed after that sleep?
Nah, not really. I think it's just, after a while, it just wears you down, doesn't it?
Yeah, it got to that stage.
You just got two left to do and just got to keep going and get there.
How do you keep yourself going, and how do you get out of bed and get motivation to get out on your bike when you feel like this?
I don't know. It's pretty hard to find.
How are you feeling this morning?
Better now. I've been up for a bit, but was feeling horrendous when I woke up. My hands are sore, my ankle's swollen, I've got a bit of a cough. Just everything's a bit worse for weather.
Yeah, body's starting to break down a bit.
Yeah, up until now, I've been absolutely fine. I think yesterday just really took its toll. Yeah. It was just relentless. I mean, it's been relentless the whole time, but you kind of, climbs are okay. But yeah, my knee's just given up as well. Like, I woke up in the middle of the night just in agonizing pain. But it'll be okay. It'll warm up in about an hour.
Just asked Ollie this. How do you find the motivation to get out of bed and get back on your bike in this kind of situation when you're feeling really depleted?
Honestly, I found this morning really tricky. I snoozed the alarm 4 times and I just wanted to go back to bed. And I was like, oh, you know, we split it into 9 and we were planning on getting there by 9. But, you know, we've got an extra day's leeway. Why don't we just utilise that to have a better sleep? But I think we just know we have to get it done now.
So we're on our way out of Peshkopi, but we're just making one very important stop off on our way out. Oh my goodness, it's too much, isn't it? Sam, can you talk us through what's going on here?
I'm trying to give some puppy, oh my god, his leg. Trying to give some puppies a bit of food. Guys, it's okay. I know, what? A sniff of that. Go on. So they're so timid.
Yeah.
I thought that their like mum would have been back around, but oh look, he's eating it now.
So just to describe the scene, there's at least 3,
there's,
I don't know
four,
if there's some more hiding,
the other
4
one went back there.
Tiny little puppies who are all kind of hiding amongst just some discarded rubbish, really, like boxes and crates and things. Yeah, they're tiny, like probably about, I don't know, 30 or 40 centimetres long, and just tiny little fluffy cute puppies with like actual puppy dog eyes, and they all look a bit weak and moving around slowly, and they're very very shy. So yeah, Sam's just sprinkled a liberal handful of dog food, dosed them out to all each of them. That's very very difficult to leave them and not just bundle them into the car and try and take them back to the UK.
As Control Car 1 stops at a gas station on the way out of Peshkopi, Tom speaks to a local man who spent the last few days observing cyclists as they pass through.
You've just heard about our race. What do you think about the people doing this bicycle race?
Oh, fair play to you. I mean, I don't know. What can I say? I mean, it's weird, it's strange, it's... What else?
You were just talking about the road that they're going over.
The road you talk is very dangerous. I could say danger, yeah. What else can I say? Fair play to you. I mean, good luck. That's all I can say.
Race reporter Ross is at the finish line in Škoda.
Looking out from my balcony here at the Traveller Hostel, which is the finish line of the race, I can see pretty much everybody is hugging the shaded parts of the street today because it's 10 a.m. and it's already getting really warm. And it just so happens, 10 a.m., it's Tuesday, which means it's exactly 1 week since the riders set off from here on their journey through the Balkans. We're kind of waiting for the next rider, Rory Anderson, to make his way here. We expect him to arrive at around 8 p.m. this evening, so he's a good way back yet. I'll just paint a picture for you of what I'm looking at just now. So as you probably remember from our first podcasts, being here at the Traveller Hostel, we've got this really vibrantly colourful greengrocers right outside of the Traveller Hostel. And then everywhere you go down the street, there are street vendors peddling, tobacco. We've got, you know, even for 200 lek, you can go and get yourself weighed. There's just all kind of variety of items that you can buy here. And I tell you what, the people in Škoda dress very, very well. Lots of elderly gentlemen walking around in blazers and suits, and the women walking around wearing traditional dress. It's a really colourful, vibrant sight here. So I can see below me the top three finishers are enjoying breakfast together. And we hope to add to that number today with Rory Anderson. And then later on we'll have Veronica Zalas and David Sanchez arriving probably sometime tomorrow.
Back on the course, Tom and the team run into our leading pair, Julien Gravot and Simon Tillet, caps 40 A and B, where most of the riders are now keen to finish. These two are ready for more.
Right. Eager beavers. Are you guys even doing any cycling? So you're planning out your finish now.
Yeah,
how does
this
that feel?
Great.
Yeah, it starts to become like a possibility. Even yesterday we were sad about it. Yeah. We were like, man, we're just getting in the rhythm. Yeah. Because now we have the same lows and the same highs, so
same
it's time. Very practical.
So you're in sync.
So we fell asleep in the same time, so we don't speak at the same time.
We go to the toilet at the same moments, we eat the same things, so yeah, everything is the same now. Yeah. Like, yeah.
It's like a clock now.
We listen to the same music, we became the same person.
So we just blend.
The same clothes.
Same person, same beaver.
Yeah. No, it's crazy now, we're just, it's hard, of course, very hard, but we're in it.
But man, the route is exceptional.
Like,
we had to say that because, like, you always think like, oh, maybe I've seen enough, maybe all the valley have been great already and we'll just go down to the finish, like, easily. But man, we were like on double tracks on the top of a mountain with a blue sky, it was like perfect.
And it keeps on giving, so, it's always different. Yeah,
this makes the whole trip significant for me. Yeah. Like the, of course we are racing, of course we are sharing memories, hard time, good times. But yeah, the route itself,
magnifique,
just made it for all the trip. Yeah. So it delivers.
Tom also speaks to Rael Massink, cap 30.
His role, he's just got a Coke.
Yes.
Is that needed energy?
Actually feel pretty good, but making the best of this opportunity, I guess.
Yeah.
It was really a great, super great part.
That's great, because you felt like you had a kind of reset at CP2, didn't you? So the whole narrative of the experience for you has actually changed as well, yeah?
Actually, yes, because I pushed pretty hard and I decided to also have the balance towards enjoyment a little bit more. So that took place, and now it's much more relaxed. I had a beautiful climb into the national park at like the sunset hour, mm-hmm. and then I planned to sleep somewhere along the downhill, but apparently past a big huge mine where we it felt really not so natural, obviously, because you have huge machines, spotlights in the middle of the night. You only see these big machines like taking heaps of the ground, and it's really in a stark contrast with the beautiful nature that we have all around us, the whole route. So it felt a bit weird, and it felt a bit strange. But and also thinking of, okay, so this is what we as people do as well, as humanity. We take things from the ground. We remove beautiful places.
David Sanchez, Cap 19, is still riding a great race in fifth position.
I'm looking forward to the finish.
Yeah.
Hopefully the next session will be easier and less rough.
Have you kind of worked out when you're going to finish? Are you starting to think about that and plan it out now?
I think it will be tomorrow morning. I don't think I will push like for 13 hours in one go. It's too much for me, so I will probably sleep a bit tonight and finish tomorrow morning.
How are you feeling about the finish? Are you looking forward to it, or are you kind of wanting to stay out?
No, I'm looking forward to it. Like today it was mentally difficult because of this, because I feel close to the finish, but so far, far and close at the same time.
Is there anything that you're doing mentally? Because before you were talking about like acceptance. Are you still trying to do that, or are you having to play some little mental games with yourself?
I tried to do, but this morning it wasn't easy. And it's only it was a bit of a roller coaster. Emotional ups and downs. Like I thought that we still had one big climb. And tarmac to the city, but it was a lie.
That kind of thing can just throw you, right? The expectation and it changes.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I had expectation, and they didn't realize. I feel frustrated. But now it's over, so we can go to this final section, and hopefully it will be easier.
Veronica Salas, cap number 8, is our leading woman in the race, and currently 6th overall. She's had to overcome a number of challenges to get here, but she's still going, and the finish is ever nearer.
How are you doing then, Veronica?
I'm on autopilot right now.
Autopilot. What does that mean?
I think I can only think about basic needs, like food and sleep.
Uh-huh. So you're kind of in survival mode?
Yeah, very much.
Are you suffering a bit?
Definitely. I think that was the hardest section so far.
Yeah?
Because I was so tired, and I thought I would get here way earlier. And it was just so bumpy. And when you are tired, it's every bump is like 3 bumps.
Yeah. So is it mainly just fatigue, just from lack of sleep?
Yeah, I think so, because like legs feel really good.
Great.
But I just feel not confused, but just very slow. So, it's been many days now, sleeping under 4 hours every night. So I can really feel it since yesterday. And you know, like when kids just get moany and like crying in the evening, and the parents tell them, like, don't worry, you are just tired, tomorrow is another day. I felt all day today like this kid and the parent at the same time. Just like I was tired, but I knew like, okay, I knew like I'm just tired. And tomorrow is a new day, so I just need to rest a bit.
So you're moaning, and then you're also the parent telling the kid to keep
like
going.
I feel very fragile. Like my nervous system feels very fragile right now, but I know that I'm just tired, so.
Back in Škoda, Rory Anderson rolls into the city and over the finish line to take 4th position at the first edition of the Accursed Race.
How does it feel to be done?
Oh, it means I'm going to enjoy Skoda now. Got back. Be fun, isn't it?
Yeah.
Have a look.
And you finished in fourth position. I mean, that must be... Is that quite a proud thing for you?
Yeah, I don't understand how I got there. Yeah, good result. Didn't expect that. Didn't even expect to get round, to be fair. There you go.
And you've finished just behind Josh Ibbett. I mean, that's pretty cool, is it not?
Yeah, well, they're obviously far better than me.
Still, I mean...
24 hours better than me.
Still, you're the next one after him, so that must be a pretty good feeling, huh?
Yeah, I suppose they got lucky then, didn't they?
I guess it's half luck, half preparation, a little bit more.
I don't know. Just getting good feeding and having a good ride, isn't it?
Yeah.
To be fair, it was good. It was good fun.
Evening on day 8 at the Accursed. Tom provides a race summary as another night on the trails looms for our riders.
Good evening, it's Tom here reporting from downtown Kukës. We've been in and around the centre of the racing action today, right in the mid-pack, tracking riders from 5th place, David Sanchez, right through to 11th place, Thomas Quirk, as they all made their way through the abandoned mining infrastructure in the Mali Migropa National Park. We've also just had Rory Anderson finish this evening, as I've been recording this, to take fourth place. So tremendous effort there. I think he's exceeded his expectations from what he was saying at CP2, and he was pretty destroyed there. So he's done amazingly to rally and get round that bottom part of the course so quickly. So after a week out on the course, the race is starting to really take its toll on the riders now. We spoke to David Sanchez and Veronica Salas as they were resupplying at the same little shop in the town of Lach, which came just after a grueling off-road section, and they were both really cracked and really showing the effects of the race on their faces, and you can really see the change in mentality now as they're really just starting to look forward to the finish, and that's really the target. We managed to get the thoughts of the leading pair, Julien and Simon, as they also resupplied this tiny roadside cafe, and they were feeling strong and in sync, and I think they've just got into their stride really now, and so they're almost the opposite. I think they're looking forward to finishing, but they're feeling like actually they could probably go on and just keep improving.
Join us for our next episode, where we expect to welcome the fastest woman and the fastest pair into the finish at Škoda. Our media team will also be out on the trails again to try and catch those riders at the middle and back end of the race, where individual stories of courage, endurance and sheer will continue to play out. Remember, you can read Ross's daily race journals on our race website and find regular updates across all our social media. Thanks to our race partners, Albion, Tailfin, Komoot, Peak Design, Quirk Cycles, and POC. Our mini interview in this episode is with Damien Phillips from POC, who spoke to Lost Dots media manager, Taylor Doyle.
Have you been following the race? And how has your dot watching experience been?
It's been great, actually. I mean, we're in, as you may know, POC is based in Sweden, of course, so in Stockholm, and the weather has just turned here, literally just turned. So it's been nice to sort of get the inspiration that you get from the sun finally landing up here, and also then seeing all the dots moving around and thinking, right, it's time to get out and do your own riding sort of thing. So from that side, it's been a real motivation, and it's always fascinating to watch the different strategies, who's employing what in a role and how they wanted to go about doing it. And of course, that everybody chooses entirely their own path in terms of how they want to do it. And that's always really fun to watch. And I maybe mentioned before, but a close friend of ours is Josh Ibbett. And Josh, he came in third now, but it's been really good fun following Josh, in particular his first night, for example, of sleep, where he's chosen to do like a sleep approach, whereas some others maybe chose a slightly different strategy. And it was just interesting, though, because one of the pictures he shared was of his first bed or the first night of sleep, which was a sofa in an abandoned house in the middle of, I have no idea where, of course, but it was obviously very dark. There was nothing, no electricity, nothing. It was just an abandoned house with an old, very old sofa in the middle of it. And so he slept there for the night, which looked really nice, as it was at least a comfy-ish spot. But his other picture just showed that he had his companions for the evening were actually a load of bats on the ceiling, which is a fascinating approach to sort of, I'm not sure how you can sleep in that, but
maybe the bats fall asleep as well and then yeah. All as well. But I guess that they would be quite active at night. I don't know. They looked insane on Veronica's stories when she was going through the tunnels on the Ciro Trail. There were just so many and they were just darting all over the place. And yeah, I don't think I've ever seen that many bats in person. So yeah, truly a haunted house experience. It's been really cool to hear Josh, now that he's finished in third place, talk about his experience on the race. Like, he was comparing it to some of the honorable large races that he's done in the past, like Tour Divide and Silk Road, and saying that something along the lines of, if you do the accursed race and then go on to do something like Silk Road or Tour Divide, that you wouldn't be surprised by the things that you would find there, which is honestly such lovely high praise from Josh.
Yeah, totally. And I think of course, where we're sitting, it's often difficult to get that exact appreciation of it. You have to be there to feel it and stuff. But from the imagery and just looking at how some of the landscape, somehow it's so remote and it looks stunning, absolutely stunning. And it's just, you can appreciate why that isolation of, in a kind of in a nice way, it really would drive you to think about those bigger races and just to see it from the same way, because it does look like an entirely unexplored region.
It's pretty special. I was talking to race director Andrew Phillips just yesterday, and he was saying that as much as the media team are working very hard to bring this amazing imagery to dot watchers and people at home, there are so many sections that are just completely undocumented by the race, that are only for the riders, that we just won't see because, it's really hard to get to those places, but also B, it's as much as we are bringing these images out and sharing them, there are images and sort of areas that we just don't really want to share. We want to keep it special and keep it sacred for the riders, which is really a lovely thing to think about.
Yeah, I think that is actually one of the really nice things, that very often in these races, you will find yourself in those spots. And of course, you could, as a rider, decide to take your own picture and try to document it. But you can never really document it, can you? I mean, that's the whole point. It's like that sense of how you are feeling, you know, your own emotional state, but then just the light or the sound, the smell, everything comes together, that it, as much as you would love for it to be, you know, sort of something you could share, you can't really share it. So it's much more important just to let yourself absorb it all and not be distracted by trying to do something else with it. And I think that's a really good thing to do, because that just almost forces us all to sort of go ahead and do it ourselves as well, because that's where the experience really lies.
The Accursed.